start this morning by reading from Psalm 105, reading all the verses from 1 to 6 this morning. Psalm 105, verses 1 to 6. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. Just to stop for a moment and again look at the very words that have come from the Old Testament. The word proclaim, and I'll speak to that in a moment. And then it comes and it says sing. Sing praises. Tell of his wonders, his wonderful acts. And many of us have experienced those things in our lives. We're going to be talking this morning about sharing the gospel, the good news. All of us love to hear good news, don't we? Right? Like, oh, I got something wonderful to tell you. Tell me. Right? We always get excited. When the kids come home from school and they want to tell you something that was exciting at school, right? And you're all ears. Tell me. Because you want to know. Because it's good news. God has given us good news. Good news to share. And that comes out of, finishing off with sharing his love with our community. How do we share his love with our community? By sharing good news. I remember a friend asking me, Steve, he says, what do you believe? He says, because I really don't know. You know, he says, I hear from this person or this person, little pieces, little tidbits of the Christian faith or of God, but tell me, what do you really believe? And that was kind of like the really cool thing, is that he never ever came to faith or deciding to believe in God. But by me sharing that news, he came to have a better understanding of how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about this morning. So as we enter in, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come and we have read your words from the Psalm, and as we come, Father, to step into your word this morning, may again us be reminded on when or where or how, Lord, you have shared the good news and that we've come into a relationship with you. And that, Lord, that would just again prompt us to be praiseworthy and desiring, Father, to share of the wondrous acts that you've done in our lives. So that, Father, empty hearts, Lord, minds that are confused or understanding, Lord, that we gain a better understanding, Lord, so that we could share your good news with them. So, Lord, may you just be honored. May, Lord, your truth, your powerful truth, Lord, again, strengthen us, give us wisdom, Lord, and really guide us through your Holy Spirit this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, we've been talking about and walking through our mission statement the past few Sundays about loving our neighbor, loving our enemy, loving God, and come to this last point of sharing the gospel. This is one topic that most Christians don't like. Some get anxiety. Some start getting sweaty palms. We get afraid. And also, that it's an area where we get nervous because it's a time of where we're not faithful. Yeah. We come to Sunday morning to worship time. We'll attend some discipleship training. We'll come to an evening worship. We'll come to a prayer time. We'll go to a Wednesday evening Bible study or small group. We even take the time to help out others. But when it comes to the point of sharing the gospel, we're afraid. When it comes to sharing the gospel, we feel guilty because we don't know how, or we are afraid. Or sometimes we might even get to a point where we just don't feel guilty anymore because I can't really do it, so I just might as well just kind of push it under the rug and not worry about doing it at all. Starting out this morning, again, you can look in your bulletins because I wanted to have you take home a little tool, a little resource in your bulletin are the sermon notes, a little points this morning I'm going to be talking about. So you have that little slip in your bulletin to follow along. So the first thing as we look at this, that we are commanded to be on God's mission. Jesus at the very end, Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." In Acts 1:8, it shares this. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has sent by his own authority. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Here, it speaks about us being given the power to be able to share his message, given the power to be able to be his witnesses. Jesus' life gives us that wonderful example that he comes to fulfill God's mission. He has 12 disciples that he was speaking to. And where Jesus begins, he begins at 12 years old. I have always been told when I started going to church, and over the years, was saying that children are the best missionaries. Children are the best at sharing the gospel, because they want to share good news. As we become adults or whatever, we end up becoming a little more hesitant. Kids, they can care less. They just got good news. But here, Jesus is found in Jerusalem, and he says, I must be about my Father's business. Right there, at 12 years old, saying, I have to be doing what God is asking me to do. And in John 17 and 18, it shares that as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Jesus is sent into the world, his disciples, and those disciples come to help believers grow and become disciples themselves, to make it possible right relationship. I shared in the past that I had a few people engage my life, connect me in my life, that drew me to understand the gospel message. My mom's taxi driver, who took us to Awana and Sunday school in a school bus. My friend in grade 7, Dwayne Baptist, who took me to world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I want to make sure that you pay attention to the word proclaimed and the word testimony. And then in Psalm 96:3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Again, I want you to be thinking and remembering about marvelous works. And then Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Two things I want you to remember there. Go. And again, proclaim. Here the word proclaim in the Webster Dictionary defines the word as to declare publicly, typically instantly, proudly, or defiantly, and in either speech or written. Announce. The word for proclaim in the Greek, the New Testament, thereso, it is used 32 times in the Gospel. And throughout the Synoptic Gospels, right, the occurrence, as it uses proclaim, is complementary to the word evangelize. When we hear that word, and all of a sudden it's like the plague, right? We're called to go evangelize? No, not me. But we'll get to a safe word in just a moment. Here, the phrase is talking about announcing the good news. Here, it contains an announcement, a proclamation of something amazing. Here, the word proclaim is used in the context where it includes its object, which in majority instances is the gospel or Jesus. So here it's saying, proclaim the gospel, proclaim the good news, or proclaim Jesus, announce Jesus. So, first, we're commanded to be on God's mission. Secondly, we come and we are what we are to tell as we are on God's mission. What do we say to people? What do we communicate? What do we announce? Well, here I've learned an acronym that really helps us. And again, coming back to the one scripture verse that spoke of the word testimony, this acronym can help us. So T stands for testimony. A testimony is truly just an account of a person who's seen or heard or experienced this in their lives. It's your story. All of you have a story. You have a testimony to tell. In Acts 4, Peter and John were told to stop preaching. Stop proclaiming the good news. Well, in verse 20 it says, we can't stop. We can't stop telling about the wondrous things that we have seen and heard. There's no way. Then Jesus said in Acts 1:8, it says, you will be my witnesses. So we're either going to be our witnesses of the testimony of our own lives, on how Christ has made a difference in our lives, or we're going to be silent. Or we're going to stay afraid, end up being disobedient, and not relying again on how Jesus said, I am giving the Holy Spirit the power to be able to be my witnesses. And we end up not relying on that power that Jesus has given to us. But if we are striving to live like Christ, then our testimony is going to be your story. Your story is the most incredible picture whether you grew up in the church or whether, like me, I didn't start to get to know God, right, until I was like at age 14, or actually 8, and then 14, and then decided to go to church on my own at 17. A more drastic transformation? No. I just have a different story. But it's not just you growing up in the church. It's the testimony of the things that God has done in your life. What you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've experienced. Sharing these things relates to people because they're walking through the same things that you've walked through, and now you can share your experience in your life. There's also another acronym, MADE, that can be helpful in our lives. Up here? Right here, in regards to our testimony. M stands for my life before I met Jesus. A is awareness of my need for Jesus. And then D stands for decision to put faith in Jesus. And then E, examples of the difference Jesus makes in my life. Our basic testimony includes all of these points. And part of our mission is to share that testimony of our journey, of our story. A lot of times we think that we got to crack open the Bible and say, here, look at this, believe this, hear this, it's the truth. A lot of times, people become more open, more receptive, when they actually get to hear your story. And as you share your story, what does God do? He allows His truth. He says, well, how did you know that? Oh, well, here, this is how I came to know that. You flip open His Word. You have the power of His Word, the power of His truth, have an impact on their heart. It's allowing the Holy Spirit. You're just the messenger. The Holy Spirit does the work. Then we come to the E. We had the T, testimony. Oops, I went backwards. So we had the T, testimony. Now we have the E, the Easter story. It's kind of obvious, but people can only believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior if they hear or read the truth. Again, remember, I thought it was a swear word. In Romans 1:17, it says, the good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. The good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. Now, we've all heard the sayings. Okay? We're about to walk into the house for dinner, or we've come to grandma's house, or we're going to go to an event with our wives, and you hear this, go clean yourself up before you come to dinner, right? Or go make yourself look presentable. Your mother-in-law and father-in-law are coming over. It is here that we get them to understand that it's through Jesus Christ that makes us presentable, who cleans us up before the Father. We either have to give them something to read or tell them themselves. The basic ministry of the Gideons this morning is to place the Bible in the hands of people that don't know, of people that don't understand. They take the opportunity of cracking the Bible open and beginning to read it, and the Holy Spirit begins to show them the truth. My aunt placed a Bible in all her nieces and nephews' hands. Now, my father has 9 brothers and sisters. that's not to, and giving you a Bible, when I was in Winnipeg, being a youth pastor for the very first time, we would have some skateboarders that would come and jump off the stairs at our church and do some grinding on the one concrete piece that we had at the church, right? Of course, I used to skateboard Wednesday, we'd have pizza lunch. Skateboarders would come, and we'd have pizza. We'd chit-chat, find out how things are going in their lives. And most of them were high school students. We had a high school close by, right? Finding out some of the struggles in their lives and in their homes and with their friends. And eventually, I'd just say, hey, can we pray about those things? Sure. Then came watching them over the years. I was at that church for 4.5 years. So I watched a lot of those students graduate. So I'd take each of those graduates out for lunch. And then I would give them a Bible. And they're like, am I allowed to have this? I don't believe in God. Certainly. I said, just read it. If you have questions about it, give me a shout. That was 7 grads out of those 4 years. 2 of them, to this day, I still connect with. Do they go to church? No. Do they still read the Bible? Yes. So just praying over time. So E stands for, with this acronym, Easter stands for morning. A is arose from the dead after. S, sacrificing his life. T, to pay for my sins so he could give me. E, eternal life. When I repent and surrender my life to him. That sentence, Jesus arose from the dead after sacrificing his life to pay for my sins so he could give me eternal life when I repent and surrender my life. That sentence. That very simple sentence. Here, it talks about Jesus' death, payment for sins, resurrection, and eternal life that he offers. And our repentant submission to his lordship over our lives. Doesn't seem so difficult, does it? It seems just pretty basic. Then there's the L, the first L in tell, loves, or godly passions. God is a God of love, and God's love moves Jesus to action towards the object of his love. What is that? Well, again, the most common scripture verse that we know in the Bible and throughout the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that so whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Because of God's compassion for mankind, for you, because he loves you, he did something for you. He gave you his Son. And as we get to know God better, we develop a more godly love. He will give us a passion for someone or something he cares deeply about. An example, the bottles here this morning. Giving us more love, right? For the moms, right? Teenage moms or single moms that all of a sudden having a baby and they're clueless and they don't have the resources or whatever. This change gives them resources, right? It loves upon them. You might knit blankets or crochet or a quilt. That becoming your passion, and you come and sharing God's love with them. What do I love to do? Lord, to follow every one of your principles. Our fathers were given fathers or mothers or both, right, to bring us, to teach us stuff, to help us follow in a way that's going to protect us, that's going to give us a happier and healthier life. Well, here God's given us his principles. Something with greater wisdom, greater power than any wisdom our Father could give us. Sadly, we often fail to learn what God wants us to learn. We've even done that with our parents. Our parents have taught us many things. Whatever. Have I listened to them all the time? Nope. No, there was a lot of groundings taken away. And then for me, sometimes there was some spankings that took place. And you'd think I'd learn after the first spanking, right? No, I had a few more because I did the same thing over again. We fail at these things. But over and over, again, as we look at, and I found out that I'm like an Israelite. Because the Israelites continue to what? Fail and fail and not listen and not listen. So I decided, yeah, I'm like an Israelite. They kept disregarding God. In the same way, right, time after time again, they get themselves into trouble because they just didn't listen. And many of you could probably relate to that too. You're like, yeah, I didn't listen to my parents either. Someone has said, It's a wise thing to learn from our own personal experiences, but it's even wiser thing to learn from the experiences of others. This is why part of our mission is to share the lessons that God is teaching us with others. Many times I've had people ask me, "Where did you learn that?" God? Well, you didn't. I said, yeah, I did. Really? They think that this book is just all about kind of like holy stuff, spiritual stuff. Like, in actuality, it's wisdom, it's guidance, it's teaching principles, it's teaching about a life to live that is a blessing, that's rich. I always found it quite funny. When I was sharing with others about my journey in my life, it kind of came to a struggle in my own personal life when I shared about my, struggling in my marriage, and struggling being as a parent. They're like, "You don't struggle. Stephen, you got the best marriage ever." They're like, "Stephen, you're the best dad ever." Well, the response, they're like, "No, really? You struggle parenting your kids too?" Gulf, and the first comedian brought up the subject of accumulating wealth. Because he believed that if he could get enough money, all his problems could be wiped away. All things would be good to go. The wealthy guy told him some kind of money principles. And the comedian asked him where it kind of came from. He said, "Where'd you get that stuff?" "The Bible." He's like, "No way." He says, "Yes." Well, they continued to golf, and a few times, each time the guy would again give the comedian some more money principles from the Bible. He shared some godly lessons that he had learned and pointed out to this comedian that God had an interest in his real life. And God has something to say about his real circumstances. And over time, as the comedian just shared these journeys that he was on, his story, he became a believer. So we've covered the tell. Testimony, our story, Easter, love, and the lessons learned. And then finally, number three, how God's mission becomes a reality in our lives. Here, there's several ways. First and foremost, pray. Every missionary that you have ever heard or seen, the number one thing that you can do is pray. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, Paul is telling about the dangers he and those him face. And he says, "He, God, will rescue us because you are helping us by praying for us." There are numerous ways to pray. Safety, discernment, movement of God's Spirit. So we ourselves that are journeying along, sharing the good news just through our own lives on how we journey, we pray. Have others pray for you. Give them prayer requests, just as we do on Sunday mornings together. What are your prayer requests? Secondly, learn. Learn about missionaries and people of other countries and about other people in your church and what they're doing and how they're sharing the gospel. Read the magazines. We have a bunch of pamphlets sitting out on the table. Read those missionary moments. Find out about the special programs. One of those special programs is the baby bottles. Through these things of seeing what God is doing around the world, seeing what God is doing here in our city, we learn. And God may use that opportunity to do some action, to allow you then to be able to share the good news. Then give. Here at our church, we offer opportunities to participate in missions. By giving, we had a missions offering for the Lemkes. Through our regular